were talking about how do we approach this topic of encounter, this topic of how do we make the most of our Sunday meetings together here as a church. And that's really important because this is a high moment in the week. But if you know us, you'll know that we're big believers that following Jesus isn't just about what you do on a Sunday, right? In fact, the gospel, the good news of what Jesus has done for us, should change everything from Monday to Saturday. But this is a time where we gather together, we get encouraged, we get equipped, we get empowered to then go out there, scattered in the city and beyond, to live for Jesus. But these are such big moments that we wanted to spend 3 weeks talking about what do our Sundays look like at One Tribe. And 2 weeks ago, Cephas took us through Word. How do we respond to the preaching of the Word? And he spoke about how we need to come with our minds engaged, our hearts soft, and ready to put in action what we hear. And then last week, Timo took us on a biblical masterclass on what does true worship look like and what could it look like for us today in our context. He spoke about responding to Jesus' words of worshiping in spirit and in truth. And today, our title for the sermon is simply called Responsive. And this actually was inspired by a guy called Dave Holden, who's a father figure in the broader New Frontiers family of churches that we belong to. And he preached a message called Becoming a Responsive People that really resonated with us. And so today, I'm going to be appealing to us, encouraging us, exhorting us to respond to God together. Yes, when we meet together on a Sunday, but also throughout the week, throughout our lives. And when I thought about this message, actually the first thing that came to mind was the weddings that we've been having in One Tribe recently. Haven't they been fantastic? It's been a great year for weddings. There's more weddings that are coming. And in Kenya, we love our weddings. We love them. And the excitement starts the moment you get that WhatsApp beep on your phone and you look down and there's an invitation. Normally there's a picture of a couple. They're looking smooth, sophisticated. It's like they could be on the front cover of a magazine. And madly in love. And normally on that invitation, somewhere on it, it's got four letters. RSVP. Does anyone know, what does that mean? What does RSVP stand for? Respondez, s'il vous plaît. Exactly, because we all start speaking French when we talk about weddings and love. That's just the way that we roll. But now, if you know anything about Kenya, we've got no problem responding to those wedding invitations, because we must be at the wedding feast. In fact, even if we don't respond to the invitation, we will be there. And even if we don't get the invitation, but we hear there is a wedding, we will be there. Because we can't miss out on it. The party, the dancing, the nyama choma, and the cake. In Kenya, we love our weddings, and we're very happy to respond to the invitation, whether we are invited or not. I want to propose to you today that the message of the Bible is actually an invitation. It's an invitation to life. But it's an invitation that actually means nothing if we don't respond to it. I'm going to read to you from one of my favorite passages in the Bible, Isaiah 55, just the first three verses. And as we read these verses, the imagery used in the first two verses is one of a marketplace. So you can imagine that you're walking through one of Nairobi's great marketplaces and somebody vending their wares calling out, come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what does not bread? And labor on what does not satisfy. Listen, listen to me and eat what is good. And you will delight in the richest of fare. Give your ear to me. Come to me. Listen that you may live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love promised to David. God, we thank you for this warm invitation and your word that we've read this morning. We thank you that it takes our breath away, Lord, with its compassion, with its welcome, God, thank you that we can embody that this morning as we gathered around the cup and the bread, as we come to the table that you prepared for us, that you made a way for us to feast, to eat the bread that is living bread, and to drink of the cup from the one who shed his blood so that we could drink living water. We're so grateful for your invitation, and I pray this morning that we would hear it afresh, and Lord, that you would teach us how to respond individually and corporately. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Right, so we're going to unpack this passage and the topic of responsive by first looking at what the invitation is. Then we'll look at the first one is, who is the invitation to? Who is invited? Then what is the invitation to? And then who is doing the inviting, right? And then we'll move on and talk about what does our response look like? And we'll talk about practically, how do we grow as a responsive people here at One Tribe? So firstly, let's look at the invitation. Who is invited? Shockingly, for the Jewish people who would have been the first religious readers of this text, the requirements to be invited are shockingly low. They're scandalously low. If we read this passage, it says, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, you who have no money, come buy and eat. The invitation is for the thirsty and for the broke. In other words, this invitation is for anyone who feels like, I'm dying of thirst. I've kind of reached the end of my road. I come to this realization that I can't live this life on my own. So friends, if that sounds like you today, the good news is you qualify for the invitation of God. But we read in verse 2 that the invitation is further defined for those who are thirsty and hungry, but they don't know that they're broke. We read in verse 2, it says, why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? You see, many of us are trying to kind of fill this thirst and this hunger in our lives. We're trying to satisfy it, but we're trying to do it by working really hard or using the resources in our own pockets to go after the next thing that the world promises, it will satisfy you. This might be a better job, a bigger bank balance, a new experience, a wife, a new place to live, a social media following, whatever it is. And as we go after those things, sometimes we get them and we realize, but hey, I'm still thirsty. I'm still hungry. This hasn't really satisfied us. So the one calling in the marketplace in Isaiah 55 says, stop looking in the wrong place and come here for food. Come here for water and drink that really satisfies. What about you? What about me? Are we thirsty enough? Are we hungry enough? Are we broke enough to qualify for this invitation? Or will we just keep on pushing on in our own strength, in our own resources, to try and meet our own needs and satisfy our souls? So that's who the invitation is for. It's for the thirsty, the broke. But what is the invitation to? Well, we see three things on offer in this metaphor in verses 1 and 2. Water, milk, and wine. So if you think about water, you can think about this as something that satisfies a kind of a life-threatening need. And for me, it symbolizes the rescue of God. In John 4, Jesus said, I am the living water, when he spoke to the woman at the well. He said, drink of this water that I offer, and you'll never thirst again. Last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, says, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. So we see in the invitation in the Bible, the Word of God, that there's living water on offer. But there's more, because the metaphors of milk and wine remind us that what God offers to us is not just an escape route, some water to rescue us from dying of thirst in the desert, but the pictures of milk and wine, they speak of abundance and richness and quality. Milk nourishes and sustains. Wine exhilarates. It speaks of joy. This is an invitation to a feast, to an abundant life. So those are some thoughts on what is the invitation to. But who is doing this inviting anyway? Well, in verse 3, the imagery of the marketplace kind of falls away and it becomes clear. It says, come to me and I will make an everlasting covenant of love with you. See, the speaker is God himself. And the invitation isn't just to receive the blessings of God. The invitation is actually to enter into a relationship with God that will satisfy your soul. Isaiah, the first 40 chapters, kind of dealing with God's judgment against the sin in the nation of Israel. But from there onwards and leading up to this passage, there's a series of passages that are known as the Songs of the Servant. And these are passages where Isaiah shifts his focus to prophesy about a suffering servant who had come to deal with the problem of sin, not just for the people of Israel, but for the nations. And so in the context of where this passage sits, we can understand that who is speaking in this passage is the suffering servant himself. It's Jesus. He says, come to me, listen, that you may live. And I can't read those words without thinking about other invitations that Jesus makes in Scripture. And one of my favorite comes from Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Goes on to say, come and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. In John 6, there's another invitation. Jesus declares, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Are you thirsty? Are you hungry? Are you weary? Are you burdened? Jesus says, come to me. And I want to encourage you, if you've never taken that step to respond to the invitation of Jesus, there's nothing stopping you doing that today. There's nothing stopping you saying yes to Jesus. And if you've already done that, you've already put your faith in him, you've already started to follow him, I want to ask you, are you still responding to him? You see, responding to Jesus is how we get saved, but it's also what we do daily to find life. Friends, this is why we have response times on our Sunday meetings, and we're going to have a response time at the end of today's meeting. It's an opportunity to respond to God, and it would be strange if we didn't when the sermon is titled Responsive. But you know, sometimes, to be honest, it can be embarrassing if you are preaching or if you're leading the service and someone brings a word or you come to the end of the message and you say, okay, can everyone respond? Who wants to respond, raise your hand if you'd like prayer, and there's nothing. But guys, we'll keep doing it. And the reason is, we don't want to stand in the way of somebody encountering God. Because when we call for a response, we're not saying, come to the preacher or to the elders or to the church. It's an invitation to come to Jesus. He's the one who offers it, just as we read in this passage. So that leads us to the RSVP, respond if you please. And in our passage today, there are at least 12 imperatives, 12 calls to action that we see instruction in how we should respond. We're not going to go through all 12, but we're just going to touch on a few. Some of them are repeated. The first one is come. Come is mentioned 5 times in these 3 verses. And that's a big part of the invitation of God, is if you are far away from God, God says, come near. You know, the wonderful thing about the invitation to come is that it doesn't say, go clean yourself up and then come. The invitation of God is, come as you are. And I want to encourage you, well done for being at church today. That's part of coming, especially if this is not something you're in the habit of. We're so glad that you chose to come. But I also want to say it's possible to come to church week after week and never really respond to God's invitation to come near. It's possible to kind of sit back and just let the invitation drift past you. Then there's listen. There's a passionate plea by the speaker in this passage. Listen, incline your ear to me. Come near to me and hear what I'm saying to you. As God is speaking when we gather together, we can expect that. That's who he is. That's what he says he will do. And it might not always be dramatic. It might not always be kind of writing on the side of the wall or an audible voice or anything like that. Often, it's not dramatic. It's just the words of a song or what's written in scripture. It's alive. It's active. Or what somebody shares in a testimony. But are you leaning in? Are you listening? Are you paying attention to what God might be saying to you? And when you feel like he is speaking to you, what are you doing about it? Next up is the word buy. The call to buy in this passage is probably the most deliberate of the responses. It talks about kind of taking possession of something and making it your own. But there's a strange paradox, isn't there, in this passage? Because it talks about coming and buying without money and without cost. What is that about? This is unlike any shopping you will ever do in the market of Nairobi, because somebody else is paying the bill. It's confusing. But you know, it only starts to make sense when you understand who is the one that is speaking in this invitation. Just two chapters earlier, one of the most vivid pictures of the death and resurrection of Jesus in Isaiah 53, 700 years before it happened, says that he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was laid on him. And through his wounds, we are healed. As these supplies of water, milk, wine, abundant, eternal life were bought at a high price. It just wasn't one that we could afford. It had to be God himself. Him who knew no sin. He had to become sin for us so that we might get for free the righteousness of God. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Friends, we have to take what's on offer, but the invitation is for free. It's dripping with grace. Lastly, we see the passage talking about eating and delighting. And I love this because after we've come and we've listened and we've bought without money or cost, we're invited to eat and delight, to eat and delight in the richest of fares. This is brilliant because for me, it reminds me that it's not just about an intellectual understanding of what God has offered us, but it's actually a heart response that God is after. He wants us to desire and delight in God and in the things of God. He wants us to be like David, who's mentioned in this passage, who said in Psalm 35, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And David, although he was far from perfect, he's described in Scripture as a man after God's own heart. He delighted in, he desired in, he hungered and he thirsted for more of God and more of the things of God. Friends, how are we doing on this? I was preparing for the sermon and I came to the conclusion that I'm not doing as well in this as I used to. I feel like I've lost some of that desire, that hunger for more of God. So today I kind of, after the first service, put my own sermon into practice and I asked for prayer. I said, "Guys, please pray for me. I want to have this desire stirred afresh in me." The feast is free. The price has been paid, but that doesn't mean we don't have to respond. We see from these imperatives in Isaiah 55, there's a part that we play in taking hold of the invitation of God. You see, the chances are, if we don't respond, not a lot will happen. But if we do respond, we can expect God to do a lot. the call to respond in Isaiah 55 is not unique to Scripture. It's actually throughout the Bible. Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes, that's active, to him must believe, that's active, that he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. The writer of Hebrews goes on in this passage to describe this list of ordinary people who have actively responded to an extraordinary God. They've put their faith, their trust in his promises, and they've acted on them. They've responded personally to God. And you and I have to do the same. God never forces himself on anyone, but he does expect a response from us and waits for a response from us. So we get saved when we first respond to God, but it doesn't end with that invitation. Next week, we'll be doing baptisms. Baptisms are an invitation. It's an invitation to take that next step in your journey of following Jesus. And guys, the elders, the deacons, the life group leaders, God himself is not going to force you to be baptized. No one's going to grab you and run you over to the pool and dunk you against your will. But I would urge you, say yes to that invitation if you haven't. There's blessing, there's life in the waters of baptism as you declare to the world what's already happened inside of you. That your life has been buried with Christ. That you've been raised to a new life, awake and alive to God. And then there's 1,000 other promises of God, invitations of God that are on offer to us. Guys, these things are not our idea as a church. These are his idea. There's his Holy Spirit on offer. He says, ask. The Father is good. He's going to give to you generously. There's promises of provision. There's promises of comfort. There's promises of power and help in your struggle against sin. Guys, we have to respond as believers over and over again to the invitation of God. You see, there's consequences to not being responsive. There's a real danger of kind of drifting into being passive, of kind of taking up a posture of sitting back and not expecting much from God. You think about the Pharisees when Jesus was walking around. You know, think about their posture. I kind of imagine them folding their arms at Jesus and kind of looking at him sideways. You know, it's not the body language that really counts. It's the posture of our hearts. Sometimes your body language tells you what's in your heart or maybe leads your heart. But what is the posture of our hearts like? Inwardly, are we folding our arms? We've got our hands in our pockets. You know, God still loves you if that's your posture towards him. That's the good news. But you probably won't receive the inheritance that he has for your life. You probably will miss out on a lot of what he wants to do in you and through you. But sometimes we stop, for some reason, leaning forward, asking, seeking, knocking. It's like we don't really, really believe anyone's there to answer. But James says, you do not have because you do not ask. And 2 Peter 1 says, no, we must make every effort on our part to respond to God's great and precious promises, his great salvation. We must make every effort to grow in God, to live for God, to delight for God. This is not about earning God's blessings. Instead, it's responding to his gracious invitation and saying, yes, I want to accept every word that you've spoken to me. Corrie ten Boom puts it well when she says, it is not my ability, but my response to God's ability that counts. How are we doing in this One Tribe? As we look at ourselves, as we think about our Sunday gatherings, are we a bit tired, a bit weary, a bit in danger of becoming unresponsive or passive? Are we settling for less than what God offers to us? Do we find ourselves thinking, well, maybe I just shouldn't expect much from God? Or maybe while I'm looking out the other way, God will work. Or God, can't you just work without me responding? Just respond. You just do it this way. But guys, that misses the point of the invitation. Because remember, the invitation is not about just receiving from God his blessings. It's an invitation to a relationship. And in every relationship, there's this flow of initiation and response, And God is always initiating towards us. He proved it when he sent his son to earth. He initiated our salvation. He's a God who's always speaking, always working, always moving, always using even the bad things in our lives for our good. He's a God who's initiating, but it's not a relationship if we never respond. It's like tennis. You can't just serve. There has to be a return. Otherwise, it's a bit of a boring game, right? And that's how relationships work. And I'm going to illustrate this for you today by asking Timur to come up. And Timur and I are quite sporty. We used to play hacky sack at university. It's just like, you know, those little sacks. You keep it up. We did that arguably more than we went to lectures. But this is to illustrate how every relationship requires a serve and response kind of mentality. So we're gonna play beach tennis because it's a great way to bond in our relationship, Timur. So you ready? Okay, so that's not helpful because like it's that serve and no return thing, right, Timur? So can we try again? And this time, you know, let's get this going. Oh, ow! Sheesh. Sorry, Joe. We apologize on behalf of the church. Okay. Okay, Timur, that's also not good. It felt like you were deflecting my efforts to connect with you. So can we try it one more time? Yes. 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 Oh! Okay, very good. Let's give Timur a hand. So guys, that's a picture of what God wants to engage with us on. God is inviting us to this life-giving exchange of relationship. He's the initiator, but the ball is in our court when it comes to the RSVP. Okay, so with that all being said, let's move on to how can we build a responsive culture practically here at One Tribe, and especially in our Sunday gatherings. And I think there's two sides to the coin here, right? Firstly, there's the side of how can we help others respond? And secondly, how can we respond ourselves? Okay, starting with how can we help others respond? You can think about this like the friends who had the paralytic that they were carrying to Jesus. And they got to the house and they're like, this friend of ours needs Jesus. We want to get him to Jesus. But there was a crowd. They couldn't get their way in. But they didn't let that discourage them. So they found a way up. They climbed onto the roof like ninjas. They got to the tiles. They ripped them off. They lowered their friend in front of Jesus. And this friend was able to have an encounter with Jesus. Friends, that's the heart posture when we talk about how do we help each other respond and come to Jesus. Practically, let's be ready to pray for one another on Sundays. There's no special anointing on a deacon or an elder or a life group leader to pray for people, by the way. 2 Corinthians 3 talks about how we are all enabled by God's Spirit through his sufficiency to be ministers of a new covenant. It's amazing. We get to minister God's grace to one another. Be ready to pray for one another. Be eager to pray for one another. Hey, you're having chai mandazi and someone's telling you about the tough week they've been having. Just say, it doesn't have to be super spiritual. Just say, oh, I'm sorry about that. Can I pray for you? Let's just commit it to God together. Take those opportunities together. God can use any of us to pray for others and encourage each other in our responses to God. You can help others by giving testimony, right? Because when you get up and you say, hey, this is what God's done in my life, it encourages others that I can respond to God. God can work in my life too. I was thinking about Gitao and how amazingly we saw with the cave the other day, this addictions kind of focus. Gitao's testimony of how God has helped him in that area has given courage to others to respond. He was telling me this morning, Sean, I'm getting phone calls on Friday evening like, hey, Gitao, can I get your advice on this? Can you pray for this? It's amazing. And all he's done is said, hey, this is what God did for me. And it gives courage to others. Let's make that more part of our Sunday gatherings. Let's be brave and coming up during worship and speaking to the host, Joe Nyla, I want to just tell everyone about what God did these last few weeks. I'd like to report on, hey, I got prayer 2 weeks ago, and this is what happened. This is what God's been doing in my life. It's like the lady who met with Jesus at the well. She went back to the town. She said, hey, come and meet someone who knows everything I ever did. And what do we see? We see a whole town respond. Come to meet Jesus. Our testimonies help each other to respond. And similarly, our willingness to share what God puts on our hearts for one another and the church does. So we're a church that believes that our times together should be participatory. And we encourage you, if God puts something on your heart, it could be a picture, it could be a verse, it could be a sense that, hey, God wants to work in a specific way with people who've got a specific challenge, come and share it. And guys, don't worry about not always getting it exactly right. Okay? We're not asking you, in fact, please don't come up here and say, the Lord saith X, Y, and Z. Right? That's not how it works. We come with humility, knowing that we don't hear God perfectly for one another. But we come and share. Hey, guys, I was just reminded of this verse while we were singing, and I just felt compelled to share it. Or I just have a sense that God may be wanting to speak to people who are struggling in their marriage, and can I pray for you? Let people weigh that for themselves, but be brave because it helps others to respond to what God is doing. That's been our experience as a church. One of the best ways, though, that we can help each other respond is by responding ourselves. Right? It's awkward to respond if you think you might be the only person. Like William is the only person to put up his hand for prayer. It's like everyone's like, sheesh, William, oof. Poor guy, he must be really struggling. There's probably some sin in his life that he's struggling to overcome. Yeah. Guys, that's not the culture we want. The culture we want is when we say, hey, does anyone need prayer? It's like, oh, yes, please. I could always use some more prayer. Repent? Yep. I'm always struggling with sin. Man, it's always at my back door. I'd love to fight it better. Guys, if that was the culture of the church, if it was normalized, then it would be so helpful for one another to feel free to take off your masks, for us all to admit, yeah, we all need more of Jesus. We all need to keep responding. We all need more prayer. So finally, that's how we help others to respond, but how do we take responsibility for our own response? Nobody can do it for you, right? Nobody can come, listen, buy, eat, delight on your behalf. At the end of the day, the invitation of God requires a personal response from each one of us. Take every opportunity you can to respond to God here on a Sunday and throughout the week. Life groups, they're a great way and place to respond to God. You know, that's why we do it. It's like you hear a message on Sunday, God speaks to us, but you've got questions. You're not sure how to live it out. Get into your life group. Share where you're at. Ask for prayer on that thing. If you're not in a life group, I want to encourage you. You're missing out. Come chat to us at Karibu Corner. We'd love to plug you into the nearest life group. It's a great place to respond to God in the safety of a community that knows you and that loves you. And wherever you can, whether it's at life group or church, I want to encourage you to get prayer. Unlike some other churches, prayer at One Tribe is free. You have to come and buy it, take it, but without money and without cost. And I know one of the barriers to coming for prayer could be that you fear that nothing's going to happen. Or you could have a past disappointment where you feel like, I got prayer for this and God didn't come through. Friends, I get that. But I want to encourage you again that what we're talking about here is not a magic bullet to make all your problems go away. That's not what Jesus promised. What he promised was a relationship that brings life. A relationship where you know that the God of love is walking with you even through the hardest, longest seasons of life. Guys, there are testimonies all over this room of how God has answered prayer through terrible, dark days. And prayer for one another is biblical. The laying on of hands is biblical. We can expect God to move. We just don't get to dictate what that looks like. But this is about coming together and putting our trust and our faith in the hands of this God who invites us to life and life in all of its fullness. We can have other barriers to responding on Sundays. It can feel embarrassing. You might be worried about getting emotional. You might just be concerned about, am I going to get stuck and not get out of church on time? Hey, you might just feel tired. It's like, I'm just too tired to respond. But friends, even as I say those things, can you see how insignificant they are in comparison to Jesus and the one who invites us? I'm not saying that walking to the front of church either is the only way to respond to God, right? And God sees the secret and the quiet response of your heart. Of course he does. But you can come and respond to Jesus anytime, anywhere. But sometimes we have to respond in that moment to what God is doing. If we don't, we can miss out. We can forget. We can get distracted. We just never get around to responding to what we felt God was doing in that moment. You know, something that's helpful for me in this regard is the story in the Bible in Mark 5 of the woman who has the bleeding disease. She's been bleeding for 12 years. She's a social outcast. She's been labeled unclean. She has to stay away from people. But one day, she sees Jesus passing through town. And she decides in that moment, I'm going to push through that crowd. I'm going to put aside my shame and my labeling, and I am going to grab a hold of that coat of Jesus. And she receives her healing. But imagine she didn't do that. Imagine she had just kind of stayed on the outskirts, watched Jesus from a distance, and maybe thought, maybe he'll circle back another day. Or maybe he'll just happen to come right up to me and shake my shoulders and heal me. Or maybe he can just heal me from a distance. Guys, let us follow her example. Let us instead run with faith. Let us go after Jesus in the moment for what he's doing and saying to us. We're going to move into a response time now. I'm going to ask the band to come up and just sing quietly over us. And as they do, I just want to challenge you to respond to Jesus and the invitation that he's putting in front of you today. And I especially want to say to those of you who you would say, I wouldn't really say I've ever put my trust in Jesus. I've never really made that decision to say yes to this invitation of life. Friends, today is an opportunity for you to respond. Don't let Jesus pass you by. We'd love to chat with you about that. Friends, if you've got a specific need that you would like prayer for, please come. Maybe it's for healing, emotionally or physically. We have a God who heals. Maybe it's for provision, for some need in your life, financial or otherwise. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to ask God to provide. Maybe it's for comfort. Maybe it's for help in overcoming your struggle against some sin that's tripping you up over and over again. This is an opportunity to come, just as you are. Take a practical step and respond to God.